Hello to you all, and today we are going to study about the month of Av, the sign of Leo, the new moon. Just was today, Tuesday, early morning in Jerusalem after 4 a.m. And happy new moon. And we all know that whoever knows a little bit astrology, that the sign of Leo is a very, very powerful sign. And just from the mere simple fact that this sign is influenced by the sun. And the sun influences only one sign, the sign of Leo, which means the sun that is the center of the solar system, that is the source of energy and life for the whole system. Without it, there's no life. And the size of the sun has nothing to compare, is nothing that can be compared to the sizes of the rest of the planets. We're talking about, just from that fact, we know about awesome power, and no wonder that the sign is the lion, Leo, which is the king of the animals. So we're talking about power, we're talking about rulership, we're talking about being central to everything, because all the planets revolve around the sun, which means every person that has a very strong force of Leo in his chart or her chart, that means either you're born in the Hebrew month of Av, or you're born in the solar influence of the sign of Leo, or you have a rising sign or a moon in Leo, you have very strong tendency to have that passion to be in the middle of everything. Fame, power, control, rulership, opinionated ideas, it's all there in that sign of Leo. The word in Hebrew, the month of Av, Av means the father. So the sun is the father figure, while the moon is the mother figure. So we have a lot of intensity, and you see that people with a very strong Leo in their birth chart, they have that tendency, as we said, to be in the middle, and they bloom when they are standing in the middle. Fame, power, decision making, and control. Well, if you just put them in another position with no fame, no respect, no honor, no power, no control, they behave like kittens. Not like Leos. They need that power, and we'll see what does that mean. Okay. However, we already brought that verse from the Zohar during last month, the month of Cancer, Tammuz. And this is a Zohar Shemot, verse 193 in Perusha Sulam. And it says, and she hid him for 3 months, which means Moses' mother, after he was born, she was able to hide him for 3 months. But the government were looking for him because they knew she is pregnant. So after 3 months, she could not hide him anymore. And that's the famous story that she put him in an ark. She put the ark in the Nile, and the rest is history. Okay? That is the simple story. However, the Zohar is teaching us that every verse in the Torah has many, many, many layers, many, many, many explanations. All of them are true. One of them is that when we're speaking about hiding Moses for 3 months, these are 3 months. I'm reading again from the Zohar, translation into English. These are 3 months of harsh judgment. Tammuz, Av, and Tevet. Tammuz is a sign of Cancer. Av is a sign of Leo. Tevet is a sign of Capricorn. You realize that these are not consecutive months. So we're not talking about a part of the year. We're talking about three signs, 3 months in along the year that have harsh judgments available or ruling during this time. During these months, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is hidden, which means you have to make extra efforts to connect to compassion, kindness, balance, flow, which is exactly the opposite of judgment. During these 3 months, the Shekhinah is hidden because of the judgments. So we need, during these 3 months, to be extra careful about everything, about journeys, about making business, about relationships, which means we have, we know that there's no day along the year we don't have to be careful about our thoughts, our behaviors, our emotions, to be always on guard, and when the judgments are awakening, to realize the judgment means delay. Delay of the revelation of whatever is good. So maybe you'll be right when you're judging everything, but you'll be dead right, which means you're killing the flow of good fortune into your life when you listen to the judgment and when you allow, doesn't matter what reason, you allow the inflammation. Inflammation, this is judgment, the inflammation of emotions, and then you have the righteous fury and anger and so on, that is never justified. And therefore, the same righteous anger that is what destroyed the temples in Jerusalem, that destroyed a whole civilization that was built for centuries and forced the Jewish nation into exile. So we are talking about there's no, when it says hatred for no reason, there's no hatred for a reason. Because you know what they say today, it's a common knowledge, the one who hates is so not wise, because hatred, that means taking poison while expecting somebody else to die. We know that hatred is the most poisonous energy, emotion, opinion that a person can harbor in his heart or her heart. Which means the moment we carry hatred, and no matter how justified it is, every hatred is hatred for no reason. Why? What do you gain by being hateful? You just poison your mind, you poison your heart, you poison your immune system, you're poisoning. And there's research that proves that hatred is very deadly to everything that is in our physiology. So people who allow the hatred to take over, that affects the development of the nervous system, the brain, the immune system, a lot of stuff. Again, exactly as the old saying is saying, you hate somebody, it means you're taking poison and you expect somebody else to die, which means you cannot be wise and hateful at the same time. Okay? No, there's no, it's impossible. Either you're wise or you're hateful. You cannot be both. Okay? Because wise people know that hatred cuts them off from the flow of bliss that is available endlessly, infinitely, everywhere, all the time, because the Creator's flow of light is available for every person endlessly, all the time. The question is, are we allowing that flow into ourselves? The moment we acknowledge hatred as a core issue in our personality, by that moment we cut off ourselves, we cut ourselves off the flow of bliss. It's only a miracle that we survive when we allow hatred to take over. Okay? So this is what it means to be so careful and not to allow the judgments to take over, especially during this time of the year. Of course, it's right, this is true for every month, but during this month, it's much easier for people to fall into that deceitful idea that I'm right and I'm hateful and that is justified. No, it's not justified. It's simply very unwise, very deadly, and it's also very sickening. So let us try and understand, how does that affect us, and where is this coming from? Because the moment the month of Leo is coming, it's not just that only the people that have very strong influence of Leo in their chart, their influence. Every human being is influenced by the change of the window in the sky. That is basically right now the window of the energy that is called Leo. Now, how do we come to it from the analytical perspective of the understanding of every sign and the forces that are basically behind that sign? Which means every sign reveals certain forces, that these forces represent the challenge every human being must face, overcome, use in order to improve himself or herself in the journey towards enlightenment. So, the month of Leo is the middle month, the second month of the summer. So, when we are talking about the summer, which is the second season, the astrological year and the biblical year is starting in the month of Aries, as the way the as the Torah speaks about it in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, just in the beginning. And over there we learn that according to the book of formation and the writings of Rabbi Isaac Luria and the Zohar, that the four seasons, they represent four basic elements that the whole universe is based, built upon. And each one of them is representing one element more than the others. At the same time, each one of the elements is also representing one of the four letters of the Tetragrammaton, which means each one of them is a very, very distinct force that is manifesting during that season. So when we are talking about the summer, which is represented by the letter He of the Tetragrammaton, the upper He, okay? And that means that in the Tree of Life, the letter He is connected or representing the Sephirah of Binah, and we know that Binah is representing the power of water, the power of water, love, sharing, and emotions. So when we're talking about the element of water, it's about sharing and about emotions. And here we learn that all three signs of the summer, the core power behind them is the water element. So Cancer, which is also a water sign, is very, very emotional, very sensitive, very into sharing. And when it goes to the as it is very common for Cancer, when it goes to the extreme, that is very dangerous, because any extreme is dangerous. Now, when we come into the sign of Leo, we know that Leo had this, the people of the sign of Leo, they have in their core, as we see also by Virgo, that we see Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, they're very, very strongly controlled by the urge to share. So yes, Cancer will share with you love, hugs, emotional support, all kinds of motherly support, because it's ruled by the moon. So the moon is the symbol of the mother love. The sun, Leo, is the fatherly love. So that's the love of the father is more about, the father figure in the household is putting boundaries, at the same time giving protection, shielding, and giving advice. The only problem is that by Leo, it's about I'm the only one who's going to give the advice over here, and that can when it goes to the extreme. Virgo, it's all about service, and that's also that element of water that is very dominant over here. Now, so as we said again, Leo by core is a water, because the whole summer is water. Okay? Everybody will say, but we know always that Leo is a fire sign. Yes, it is a fire sign. However, the core is water. And that's why Leos are very, very emotional, very dramatic. And that's not that much, it's not very common for fire signs. Aries are not like this, and Sagittarius are not like this. Where is that heavy emotional thing that if you are Leo, you must have a very, very strong thing about emotional drama? This is coming from the water sign. Okay? Now, however, we have two other issues. When we take the summer and we divide it into the three signs, each sign represents another stage, another aspect. So the first sign in every season represent the right column, the second is the left column, the third is the center column. Like in every sign, here Leo is the second one, that's the left column. Left column means judgment and fire. And now it is fire also, as most people know, when you study any modern any astrology, everybody says that's a fire sign. Yes, it's a fire sign. It's also fire of among the summer signs, but it is deep inside water, which means we have here a composition of deep water and external very strong double fire. Fire because it is one of the fire signs, according to more to astrology, but it is a left column which is also fire. So we have double fire, one water. So what is fire about? Fire, we know, is about, as Rabbi Azakluria is teaching us, fire is about taking. The moment fire stops taking, it's gone. It's finished. Fire has to take all the time. So what is the issue over here? When you have double fire, it means it's always, there's a very, very strong urge to take. To take what? So as we said before, because it is ruled by the sun. So the taking over here is all about taking everything. So whatever, when you see Leo at its best, okay, you have the urge to take money, to take pleasure, and everything has to be large, big size, large or extra, extra large. So everything is majestic, everything is powerful. So it's about that, rulers that have no checks and balances, and that's what the Leo is about. I don't need checks and balances. I am the sun. No one is going to put anything in my way. So humanity has learned for the last few thousand years that the moment you give somebody so much power, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So we know that the tikkun of Leos is never to be in a position without checks and balances. Why? Because the moment you're exposed to power, and Leos reach power, usually they have the ability to manipulate themselves and create power, political position, business position, anything of community position, family. When it's all about power and you have no checks and balances, that can go overboard, and that's where the Leos become their own greatest enemies. Why? Because selfish motivation is really the worst thing that we can do in our journey to enlightenment. And if you're not on the journey to enlightenment, so what are we doing over here? Because, money you cannot take to the next life. Assets, real estate, it's not really real. You can't take it with you to the next life. What you can take to the next life is those moments or achievements that are basically about reaching godliness, enlightenment, sharing, loving, and kindness. Now, Leos are very, very good about it. The problem is that if they do that, and they can be really generous and loving and charming, they do it with, and that's a danger, as a manipulation in order to have people becoming their subjects. Okay? And the moment you are not showing yourself as an obedient subject, that can release the drama. The drama has only one meaning, which is to put you in your normal position as an obedient subject to the great king or queen. Okay? So that's why when Leos come and fall into that, they don't fall, but they perform the drama that is really full of fire and volcanic eruption in that magnitude, and you start to flatter them and to tell them how great they are and how beautiful they are and how charming they are. That will put off the whole volcano just because it's so easy to bribe the unaware Leo, because their need, double fire, for flattery, appreciation, obedience, honor, respect is so, so intense, you can buy them with flattery, like a long history for so many thousands of years. You can always learn about these great, charismatic, powerful rulers who simply were fooled by their advisors with a lot of flattery, gifts, all that makes those people fulfill their need for power for acknowledgement, and so on and so forth. Okay, so what is good about Leos? What is good about it? So let us see, because again, we have to understand that yes, this is an enormous power, but every great power, the more it can give any kind of help or support or any kind of value, the same power can be destructive. And that is a major rule in everything, which means when you drive a car that has a very strong, enormous engine, you need to be much, much more careful about the rules of driving, because one little tiny mistake can create huge damage. While at the same time, a car that has a very kind of a very cheap, not so strong engine, that so you made a little mistake on the road when you're driving 25 kilometers an hour, that is not that dangerous as when you're making that mistake driving 300 kilometers an hour. So that's why Leos need to be much more careful, or everyone during the time of the month of Leo, because we are playing here with enormous power, double fire. So let's see how that evolves. So when we're coming to the to see how that is manifesting in the name of the sign. So the sign of Leo in Hebrew, it's a lion, simply a lion. Aryeh. Aryeh is a lion. And Aryeh is, as we said, the king of the animals. So it's a symbolic power for kingdom, for power, for majestic force and charisma. Okay? The letters of the word Aryeh are also the same letters of the word Re'iyah, which is sight. Now, this is very important because Leos, they, as we said, because they have that huge supply of energy from the sun, okay? It's a huge power. We know that the sun is a number one source of light in the whole solar system that cannot be compared to any other source in that system. And with the light, or you can see Re'iyah, lirot. So, Leos have an amazing power to lead because they have an amazing power to see things that other people cannot see. Therefore, they can be great leaders. Therefore, they can be great engines of any kind of a power. Community, country, and you see some of the greatest leaders in history, many of them were from the sign of Leo. Okay? And however, Re'iyah, real sight, has also the same letters of Yir'ah, which is awe. Which means when a person has a real, true sight, that person also will have access to one of the most powerful perspectives of life, which is called awe. When Rabbi Shimon leaves his cave that he was hiding there for 13 years, every day he studied with Elijah the prophet. Some of the days he studied also with Moses. Those great souls came to teach him in the cave for 13 years. When he comes out of the cave, and sitting 13 years in the cave, you start to develop skin diseases because of lack of vitamin D and some other issues of living in a muddy, humid place. So he goes to Tiberias, to the hot springs of Tiberias, in order to heal his ailing skin. Over there, he meets his father-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, and as he meets Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, he starts to share, immediately start to share with him some of the greatest wisdom that the great wisdom that he learned in the cave. And he, the first thing he speaks about is the precept of awe. That is the gate for entering any level of spiritual awareness. Real, true spiritual awareness, explains Rabbi Shimon, you cannot reach any gate of any real true awareness, spiritual awareness, without yira, without awe. And the awe, what does it mean, awe? Awe is the ability to have a sight that is wide enough to realize that whatever you are going through is basically ruled, controlled, owned by the King of all kings, the creator of the universe. You know, and it takes one to tell one, which means during the month of Leo, people of the sign of Leo, or people not the sign of Leo, but you have a very strong influence of Leo, there is an amazing opportunity to achieve awe. Awe is so important. And the Zohar explains in that article that describes Rabbi Shimon's revelation that he's telling his father-in-law, and that you can find it in the four precepts, the essay of the four precepts in the end of the introduction to the Zohar, the first volume of the text of the Holy Zohar. And what does it say? It's when you can realize how great and powerful is the master of the universe, and you have an acknowledgement and an awareness, awe. How awesome is the creator in every small detail in reality, then you are capable to move forward. But the moment you can see only the little details, either exciting, positive, joyful, pleasureful, or scary details, you will never be able to reach any gate of spirituality. Any gate of spirituality, you need access with awe, which means the moment you have awe, it means you have a wide enough respect and honor to that level that you're facing, and that's the only way you can invite it in or access those levels of spirituality, which means the extent of the greatness of the sun, the power of the sun, that can imbue inside each one of us that awesome awareness that will basically give us the ability to ascend above the little things of life. And when you are able to see the great drama of creation as a big show that is from the beginning of the creation till now, and the one who's running the show is the king of the universe, the king of all kings, the master of all masters, only that level of awareness can allow you to move on. But the moment we're being taken over by the little joy, passions, fears, anxieties, aches of, you know, the everyday life, then you are away from greatness. You are just focusing on small little things. And when you focus on the small little point, you miss the big picture. You miss the big picture, you cannot feel all. You are being consumed with the now and the here and the event, and you lose the big picture, you lose all, and that means that you're suddenly becoming a victim to all kinds of emotions, either lust, fear, or any kind of other lower emotions of anger and and false excitement and happiness. All of these simply rob you from the great awareness of awe, which is godliness. Now, that we can we also can develop, because the sages are teaching us that the name Aryeh, a lion, which is also Reiya, sight, Yira, all of these have the letters, the same letters, and you know the Hebrew letters, each one of them is a number. So Aryeh starts with Aleph. Aleph is one. Resh is the second letter, that's 200. Yud, the third letter, that's 10. And Hey, the fourth letter, the last one, that's five. Altogether, we get 216. 216 is a very, very important, significant number. It's the same number of Gevuah, judgments. Okay? And judgment is not always bad, which means Rabbi Shimon, again, when he explains the real perception of Yira, real true awe, it has to have judgment in it. What kind of judgment? The judgment of boundaries, knowing the limits, knowing the boundaries, knowing the rules. And when you are aware of the rules and you have awe, which means you have huge amount of respect to the rules of the universe, that is holding judgment. Okay? And without being aware of the rules, again, remember, people who think, you know, God is only about love, and He loves me unconditionally, which means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, because God would always love me. This is very nice, very important. However, this is very dangerous, okay? Because that awareness is called chesed. Chesed is loving kindness. Chesed gematria or numerical value is 72. Okay, 72 times 3 gives us 216. However, our sages, even the Torah, is warning us when we think that God's love is unconditional. Of course, God's love is unconditional, but we live in a universe that if you want to survive and thrive, you need to respect the rules. For instance, the rules of electricity. Don't put your finger in the socket. Okay? Be very careful to connect only approved devices to electricity that follow the code. Why? Because if you understand the awesome power of electricity, you have to be to respect the rules in order to stay connected to the grid. Now that's the grid of electricity. Now think, if that is electricity, what is about connecting to the grid of the Almighty Creator? Okay? This is much more intensity, and electricity today, when you have a grid, it's a very good example, so it helps us to understand. You want to connect to God's almighty powers, you must respect and have awe of the laws of the universe. And the laws are very clear. You just have to read the five books of Moses. And, you know, what cannot be understood by do not kill. Do not steal, okay? It's very, do not covet your fellow person's wife, house, whatever. These rules, if you do not respect them, And you think, oh, it's all great and God, I'll do whatever I want. The Torah is warning us, when you go off the road, then the snake is waiting for you. And what is a snake? The snake is selfishness. The snake is the tree of death. The snake is the angel of death. And there's a rule, there are consequences. There are rules of cause and effect that you have to be aware of them. And if you're not aware of them, you cannot reach true spirituality, which means a person who cannot respect the rules of spirituality, that we are part of a universe that is more than just what the eyes can see. And if you want to understand the rules, you have to, simply read and learn the message of God. And you learn that if you just follow unconditional love, just love, and everything is okay. Usually, when people behave in that way, that leads to terrible abuse, destruction, and pain. And history shows that for many, many times, and that brings to hypocrisy, treachery, all of it, because whoever just speaks about just love and all the others are not important, without having any awe of the laws of the universe, is always that's always a recipe for destruction. Just think about communism was just about unity and equality. In the name of that message that said they deny the existence of God, the existence of rules, the rules of God. So now it was in the name of love, we have to kill all the enemies of society. Okay. And how come that the enemies of societies never stopped appearing all the time? How many millions, tens of millions, more than 100 million were killed in the name of that unconditional love of communism? So the moment you ignore the laws of the master of the universe and you just preach for unconditional love, the result will be horrible. And that was not the first time that that idea, and not the last time that that idea created so many victims. Okay, so now let's move to another layer. When we are talking about the consciousness of the month of Leo, we learn from the Book of Formation that we have two major letters that are involved. We have the letter Kaf for the sun, Kaf for the sun, and that created the sun according to the Book of Formation. And according to the same book, the letter Tet created the force that is manifested as the sign of Leo. We are all living in a great matrix, and we have to understand that whatever we see, perceive, understand, it's all about spiritual forces that our five senses and the logic of the five senses perceive them in a very certain way, although they're basically just a shade of the real true force. So let us try to understand what is the sun about. Okay, we'll do just a little bit. So the sun, first of all, the letter Kaf, we'll go into more details later on, just to get the picture for that this moment. The letter Kaf, the first thing is the letter Kaf. When you learn about the secret of the Hebrew letters, that's another huge article in the introduction to the Zohar, the article of the letters of Rabbi Yemnuna Saba, and over there it speaks about the letter Kaf. Among inside that story, that it's a legend. Of course, it has so many secrets, but the legend says that when God wanted to create the world, he was discussing the issue with the letters. And every Hebrew letter came in front of God and said, "You should start the creation of the universe with me." Of course, that did not happen. But from that legend, we learn about the unique power of every letter. It says, so when the letter Kav came in front of the Creator, the whole world was shaking and started to fall apart. And the Creator said, "Go, go, go immediately to your place, because you, the letter Kaf, you are the letter of Keter." Keter, the crown. What does it mean, Keter? The word Keter in Hebrew, of course, the Kabbalistic meaning, is very, very powerful. First of all, in the Tree of Life, the first uppermost sephira, illumination, is Keter. What is Keter about? Just to make it short and just for what we need for today, the letter Kaf, Keter, is about being the cause of all causes. Why? Because Keter, a crown, is the cause for the king. Here's a mortal human being. They put the crown, the sanctified crown, in every system of kingdom. When you put the crown on top of the head of a mortal human being, and it's always with a religious connotation, it means that from now on, the Creator is blessing you with the powers of rulership, which means there's more than just a crown. In Hebrew, the meaning of Keter is not just a crown of the king, it means also lechater, to surround, to control, to put a siege, which means being the cause of the causes, which means you have from now on, being a king, you have a divine force above you that makes you a representative of the master of the universe on this physical world. Look at all the ceremonies of anointing kings all over the world, you see that aspect. Okay? So what's the difference between a king and, let's say, a president? A president, he has the power of the people because they voted for him, or because he has an army standing behind him. It's always he rules by the power that other people gave him. While a king, he rules by the power God instilled in him. Okay? So this is very different. So we are talking about Keter as the symbol of the will of God. And the will of God never changes. The will of God, when you study Kabbalah, is about one thing. The will of God is to give all that is good to his creatures. So, being connected to Keter is like being connected to the seed of the creation and the main power that moves everything step by step. We can see that as a seed, because when you look at the seed of a tree, the seed is small and many times useless. However, when you plant the seed, from a small, tiny little seed, a huge tree can grow out of it. Okay? So the whole tree potentially was in that seed. But what happens to the seed the moment we plant it? The moment it sprouts, there's no seed anymore. Where did the seed go to? We have no idea. It was there. It turned into a tree, which means the whole tree was concealed inside one small seed. So when you follow the growth of the tree, and it becomes a plant, and then a bigger tree, and a bigger, until it becomes a huge tree, finally, the tree blooms and bears fruits. And if you look inside the fruit, you'll find the seed, which means the seed was there all the time, although invisible. Same way, the will of God is imbued or hiding in every aspect of our reality. Somebody who has a king is being recognized that he is representing the will of God on earth. Therefore, it's still in some kingdoms, the king is not making any mistakes. Okay? In the biblical definition of a king, yes, the king is anointed by God. He's imbued by the powers of God. Still, you must have checks and balances. So the biblical law, it's teaching us that when you have a king, the king, first of all, has to write the Torah by himself. And he must carry the Torah with him to wherever he goes. Why? To remember that he's not above the law. The king needs to consult with the assembly of wise people that are governing together with him. So the first coins that we have from a Jewish kingdom that was mostly by, you know, ruled by the Jewish law, that was in the time of the Hashmonaim, the kingdom of the Maccabees, because in First Temple time, there were no coins yet available all over the world. People did not start, nations did not print or did not made coins that represent the kingdom. During the Second Temple, during the time of the Maccabees, there was also, so the first coins said as follows. The first coins of the Jewish kingdom said the name of the king and, like, who's the sovereign? The king and the assembly of the Jews, which means who's the sovereign? The king and the parliament. They're the sovereign. When King Alexander Yanai minted coins that said Yanai Amelech, the King Yanai, there were riots over the country because, like, who said where checks and balances? The biblical law says one human being, although he's anointed, is incapable of running a kingdom. Finally, he won, King Yanai. The result was that when his sons went into power, they thought it's theirs. They fought on the crown. The loser brought the Romans into the country. And that was the end of the independence of the Jewish kingdom during the time of the Roman period, during the Second Temple period. Which means they were right. You never can allow even an anointing king to think he is the ruler by himself. The law is not above the law and is not above criticism. Same thing. If you are the king, the ruler of the business, the company, the family, if you put yourself on a place that you are above checks and balances, you are on the course of extinction and destruction. Remember that. This is the big tikkun of a Leo or any person that has a very strong Leo within him, which means the look and the journey, the quest after power and centrality. So the letter Kav, yes, it is the crown. It symbolizes God's will. And that means that Leos, or people with a very strong influence of Leo, have an amazing ability to see God's will. Still, it doesn't make them immune. Okay? The letter Tet is the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The letter Tet symbolizes Tov, good. but it's also connected to Sfirat Yesod, and we know Yesod can be is a double-edged sword. Either you have the righteous human being is a person who understands that he has to turn all his desires from selfish desires into altruistic desires, which means the desire to receive in order to share, which means you want power, you want wisdom, you want bliss, you want fortune. There are rules to this universe. The only way you can really achieve anything is by connecting the king to the king of all kings. And the only way to connect to his endless will and power is turning your personal selfish desire into the desire to receive for the purpose of sharing, because that's the only way you can touch the divinity and tap into the network of God. If you don't, we know that one of the biggest temptations or weakness of rulers, kings, powerful people is Sfirat Yesod, sexual drive. When you have support, honor, respect, power, all along history, that meant a lot of sex, a lot of women. And that was always the beginning of the downfall. The moment that was ruling you, and we know history is full of people who are talented, powerful, great, benevolent, even rulers, kings and presidents, but the moment the sexual drive was took over, away with the wisdom, away with the power, away with the sight, that needs to be dealt with. The same thing. Again, when you have real awe, you respect the rules. Okay? You respect the rules, and the rules of the Torah are very strict about free sex or any kind of sexual needs and desires. Okay, what do you have also over here? So the Kaf and Tet, it's a combination that is very powerful about the describing what the sign of Leo is about. And here we have the letter combination of the Tetragrammaton, because the Tetragrammaton has 12 possible permutations. These 12 possible permutations, each one of them represents another frequency of the 12 signs of the zodiac. This sequence that is for the sign of Leo is Hey Vav Yud Hey. Okay? And the Bnei Sachar, Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, is in his book, Bnei Sachar, is teaching us that we can see two major, one beautiful thing about it. The beginning of the name is Hey Vav. Hey Vav is backwards. Whoever listened to the explanation of the sign of Cancer, we learned the sign of Cancer, the permutation was Hey Vav Hey Yud, which means it's a letter, the name of God, backwards. It's all judgments. Here it says, we see, it's Hey Vav, but after that, Yud and Hey. Hey Vav is backwards, Yud and Hey is in the right order. And he says that means that the first half of the month of Leo is judgment. And therefore, that's a very harsh judgment, and we have to be really, really careful during that part of the year. And this judgment is basically manifesting itself, especially in the first 9 days. Tet. Nine, the letter Tet, the first 9 days, and the ninth of Av is the day of the destruction of the temples, and so on and so forth. While the second half of the month, especially from the 15th, Yud is 10, Hey is 5, 15. From the 15th day of the month, Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, which is the holiday of love. That half, from the 15th of the month to the end of it, is not full of so many judgments. It's even a blissful time. Okay, so that's about, so how, in order to tap into the power of this month, we use the letters combinations of Kaf and Tet. We use the letter combination of Hey, Vav, Yud, and Hey, that of the Tetragrammaton combination for this month. And we also use the fourth line of the Ana Bekoach prayer meditation, which is basically bringing up the acrostic of that line, Barchem, Taharem, Rachamei, Tzidkatecha, Tamid, Gomlem. The first letter is Bet, Tet, Resh, Tzadik, Taf, Gimel. As I said, in the prayer of the Ana Bekoach, the meditation, the fourth line is the acrostic of that fourth line is also, as the Zohar teaches us, when we meditate on that letter combination, the acrostic Bet Tet Resh Tzadik Tav Gimel, we can ascend in opening one great window in the heavens, access that window. And in that window, we have the letter Kav for the sun and the letter Tet for Leo. And we can use now that windows that were opened up in order to funnel in the abundance of light that is available in the month of Leo. Okay. The month of Leo, also in Hebrew, the month of Av, the father. As we said, the father, we have the father, our father, our king. This is the king of the universe. The tribe of this, we have 12 tribes of Israel, which one symbolizes another sign. When we're talking about the tribes from the connection between the tribes and the signs according to the order of their birth, we're talking about the tribe of Issachar. The tribe of Issachar was a tribe of wise people. Most of the members of the Sanhedrin, which is the assembly, the parliament of the Israelite nation, were from the tribe of Issachar, because, you know, the wisdom, the awe, that, you know, when you have awe and you have the wisdom and you have the sight, you have the ability to give advices, to rule, and to give guidance, okay? Now, the gates of in time that of this month, we have the 3 weeks of judgment, the last nine of them, which are the most judgmental, and that's why from the new moon till the ninth of Av, it's getting more and more judgmental. We have to be more and more careful about our behavior. It's like the engine power is getting stronger and stronger. When we turn that judgment into love and kindness, it's not that the judgment is gone, it's sweetened, which means you have right now a huge engine and power that you can bring a lot of value with it. Remember, judgments are not evil. Judgments without chesed is dangerous. Chesed without judgments is also dangerous, as I explained. Only when the judgments are bounded, like Abraham, chesed is binding Isaac, gvura, judgment. Only then you have true completion and peace. And that's in the month of Leo, that's our work to do it. Every thought of animosity, hatred, anger, fear must be overruled and subjected, bound by chesed and kindness, not denying the judgment, but using it under the boundary of chesed. So we have the last 9 days of the 3 weeks, which are the most harshest judgment. We have also the 5th of Av. In the midst of the 9 days, we have the day of the departure of the Arizal, Rabbi Azaklorian, in the year 1572. in Tzfat. So we know when a great soul like this departs, it leaves a huge impression on the zodiac. So every year on the 5th of Av, we have an amazing revelation of the light of Rabbi Azakluya. So it means that for us, he already sweetened the judgments for the 5th of the day of Av, which is basically very much reminding that when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai departed, he left on the 5th day of the 5th week of the judgments of the counting of the Omer. Again, number five. Because five is the most aching if we count the Sefirot. We have in this month also the 9th of Av, which is a day that the Zohar said this day belongs to the snake, to the angel of death. And that this is the reason why, when we respect the rules of the universe, we do not eat, drink, work on the 9th of Av, because we don't want to strengthen the power of the dark side inside us. Not because we are mourning the destruction of the temple, because the Kabbalists will ask the question, why were the temples destroyed, both of them, on this day? And the answer is because this day is such a very negative day. Of course, the moment you correct that negativity, you take the word Nahash, the snake, the same numerical value, 358, as Mashiach, the Messiah, which is, what is the Messiah? The ability to sweeten, not eliminate, the judgments of the snake and turn them into healing. As you know, the symbol of medicine is the snake, the copper snake, Nechash HaNechoshet. As we said, the 15th of Av, it's a full moon always in the month of Leo. Full moon means that is the top of the cycle of the moon, the mother figure. The 15th of Av is the midsummer day in the Hebrew calendar. The midsummer day, which means that the sun is at its peak. So when the peak of the sun, the male figure, the father figure, converges with the peak of the moon, the mother, the female figure, you have this convergence into the male-female harmony, unity, and that's why it's called the Holiday of Love. And that's why this holiday is all about matchmaking. It's about matchmaking between the heaven and the earth, between the creator and the creation, and between, two people looking for their mates. Okay, we'll finish with, again, as we said, the summary about the sun. So the influence of the sun is illumination versus burning fire. So the Hebrew name for the sun, we have a few of them. One is Chama, which means hot. That's a burning fire. The same way that a king, a CEO, an owner of a company, a father, they can burn everybody around them if they are tyrants and dictators. The other name, the most common name in fire of the sun in Hebrew, is Shemesh. Shemesh is the same letters of Shamash, the servant. When the CEO, when the king, when the father, they realize that they are here to serve, they're here to use their immense power of sight, wisdom, whatever, centrality, in order to serve, then it's illumination, and that will be the leader, not the dictator. Okay? It's a symbol of vitality, symbol of sight, leadership, as we said, versus tyranny. And the letter, as we said, of the is Kaf, that is also, it's about power, but the Kaf, the numerical value of the letter Kaf, the letter Kaf means in Hebrew a hand. When you take a hand and you do it like this, that's a letter kaf. This we need this size, right? Yes, this is the direction. So when you have the letter kaf like this, this is a K. The letter K in English came from kaf. Okay, so the letter kaf, numerical value 20. You can see upper line, lower line, and they are connected. And you know, and the number 20 is a magical number because you have the illumination. How many lights are there? So the first thing will say, oh, 10 lights, 10 sefirot, 10 illuminations. Yes, that's originally. But for that light to be manifested in our realm, we know that if you want 10, you know, everybody wants 10. What kind of a life do you want? 10. What kind of a business life you want? 10. What kind of a marriage life do you want? 10. What kind of a father or mother do you want to be? 10. But if you want 10, you must give 10. 10 direct light, 10 lights that the Creator gives you. But in order to receive 10 lights, you need to be ready to share 10. Understanding that the 10 lights of the Creator can never dwell in a vessel that is not willing to commit to give 10. So the 10 lights of the Creator can dwell in the effort to share 10 lights of the person. 10 plus 10 gives you 20. And that is the ability to own the Keter, the crown, the leadership, the power, the fame, all what comes with it. Thank you so much, and have a great month full of greatness, power, positivity, as this month should be.